Patrick's Day Road Race and Parade. Proudly sponsored by Manhattan Broadcasting Company.
We're back here on In Focus News Radio, KMAN. Brandon Peoples talking here today with Cliff Williams, superintendent from USD 378 Riley County, Brady Burton, USD 384 Blue Valley Randolph here. And we're going to get into some of the issues going on at the legislative level. I don't know if you guys had a chance to get out to the legislative coffee last week, but I know some of that was addressed. But what are some things you have your eyes on this session?
Well, I'll go first.
Okay.
If you don't mind, Brady. First was Senate Bill 128, which is the safety drills. That was something that was new for this year. You know, everybody knows that we used to practice fire drills every month, and we'd have a couple tornado drills. And this past session, they added the crisis drills. And I think the idea behind it was honorable in a sense that we need to practice it. It is a reality now. I think in all of our tenure, we wouldn't think we would have to, but the short of it is we had 16 drills, and I think most school districts felt like that was a little over the top, but it did get our attention, and the proposal that's out there right now would be 9, and you'd go down to 3 to 4 fire drills, 2 tornado drills, and 3 to 4 crisis drills. And we're appreciative that they allowed us to have some feedback, and I think that's the feedback they got from the school districts. And so it shows that the legislator is working with us, and I think it'll be a better plan.
Well, I do too. I think they kind of went over the top when they passed us a year ago, and they have thought it through and realize it's too many. So it's a lot of drills. That's, you know, now it'll be basically once a month having some type of drill. So anyway, I might mention another one. We'll just kind of go back and forth here. Senate Bill 7, and these are all education things. Right now, our elections have been moved to November. The new board members come on in January, but we still have our fiscal year is July 1 through June 30th. So the election of new officers and so on have always been the July board meeting. So there's a bill to change that from July to January when the new members come on, which only would make sense now since we've moved the election from the spring. Used to be in April, now it's in November. So I'm sure that probably will fly, but it's no biggie, but I think it'll make a difference on our boards.
Yeah, I too echo that. I think that was a good idea, and I think it'll work out well. I know my boards discussed it, and they kind of like the idea of electing their officers in January, but still doing their organizational meeting in July as we get ready for a new budget year. The next one, I know there's 3 bills out there from the House that relate to bullying, and I think the short version is that it started out that if a student witnessed it or reported bullying, that then they would have the option to transfer to a private school. And I think from my chair, I kind of view that as a different way of saying it's another voucher option. And, you know, and being a public ed person, you always want everybody to come to our schools. But I think in the end that it sounds like they're going to form a task force, kind of like they did with dyslexia, and seek some feedback. And so I'm appreciative of that.
Well, I would agree. I don't. To me, if someone steps up and is a witness to bullying, and which they should be willing to stand up. I know it's hard for students, but we shouldn't reward them with a voucher to go to a private school if that would help them better. So I'm like Cliff. We've talked about vouchers for private schools and so on for a lot of years, and I think it's another, by one of our legislatures, another attempt to move us towards vouchers, the voucher system. So another one. House Bill 2166 is out there. They're looking at if to have schools incorporate a financial literacy course into their curriculum. And if you do that, it would substitute for a high school math class. And currently, I think we're required to teach a financial literacy class, or it's recommended. I'm not quite sure on that. Which would be basically how to keep a checkbook, how to deal with insurance, how to take out a loan on your home or whatever, just some everyday things. that all of us have to do that most of us have no idea how to do until you actually do it. And so we'll see what happens. I have mixed thoughts on this, if it should substitute for a math class or not. In some cases, for some of our students, it, you know, I think it would be a good idea. I'm not sure if all of our students benefit from as much math as we require them to take anyway. So I'm not sure where I stand on this one, but I think it's good that we teach kids financial literacy, however we do it within our school systems.
Yeah, you know, I'd have to agree with that, because that's the one thing I think in school that wasn't taught, at least when I went to school, that I wish I had more of that, just because I think it's so important. You know, once you get out, you get into the real world, and you're going to have to deal with it anyway. So it's good education, I think.
How do you feel on that, Cliff?
Well, I've kind of got mixed emotions on that, and this is some of the feedback I hear from patrons as they talk about, you know, it's, you know, part of that is their job as a parent that, you know, hey, I want to teach my kid how to have a checkbook, mm-hmm. how to manage that, or have a debit card. At Riley County, we embed all those skills into other classes. We don't have a separate class. We feel like that's the best method right there to apply that, like we have our facts class, which used to be the old home ec class. You know, and they talk about purchasing different items and having a budget, and, you know, and so it seems to me that it kind of parallels that curriculum already, and it helps them. So I think there's some merit behind it, but I think definitely it's a partnership. The last one I want to just touch on is the governor's plan. She was emphasizing to try to get the process done by the end of February as it relates to the funding for schools, and I think that's a good idea. We talked about it earlier in the show here off the air that how we try to plan for this and be good stewards of our people's money, and, you know, getting this information in June and July makes it very difficult as we have to turn around and get a budget developed in about 2 weeks, even though we work on it all year long. So I think some of the merits that I'm hearing that we should emphasize to our public is that we really like that the money would come to the base. It gives us the most autonomy to meet our kids. You know, Brady talked about, you know, the different plans, and we view it that we have 228 kids in our class in the high school, and each one of them is going a different pathway. And sometimes when you give this new money and it has a lot of these purse strings to it, it doesn't give us that autonomy to meet these kids' learning styles. And so putting it on the base gives us the best opportunity. And the other emphasis I would put on that is sometimes they have intentions to go in the right spot, like, for instance, at risk. And we do have at-risk kids, and we need to be putting more funds towards them. But if you put it on the base, it does give us the ability to help all those kids in the best way fit. And, I mean, that's what we're in education for, is to help all those kids. And so I'd really like to emphasize that putting the money on the base gives us the most autonomy to help all those kids go in all those different directions.
And I would agree with that. A couple others that I wanted to mention. Senate Bill 22, reducing taxes by nearly $190 million for next year. Three-fourths of the cuts would be for corporations. I don't know about reduce. I know a lot of people are anti-tax and so on, but we went through this a few years. It's been more than a few years ago in Kansas, reduced taxes. That's really when we started getting in trouble with funding for education and so on. We didn't have the revenue coming in properly for highways, schools, social programs, some of those type of things. So I'm always a little leery to cut taxes that we already have in place, especially where I'm sure it's three-fourths for corporations. I'm sure the idea behind is trying to get more business into the state. But we kind of went through that with the Brownback era, and it didn't work. So that's my opinion. But another one is House Bill 2233, where they're recommending a $500 stipend to every teacher to offset what teachers are spending out of their pockets for classroom supplies. I have no problem with that, but this is pretty typical with our legislature. They want the districts to fund it. So Riley County or Blue Valley, if that would pass, would provide a $500 stipend out of our budgets to each teacher to do that. So I think we see this a fair amount, that bills that are coming out are changes of the legislature that are not non-funded, that are passed, and we're expected to fund them or take care of them. So I'm in favor of the stipend, but if the state would pick that up and not the districts. Another one, House Bill 2183, requiring a computer science course for graduation. We did that over 20 years ago when I was principal at Clay Center, started requiring a computer class for graduation. So I'm really shocked that maybe that I can't see that. I mean, I would think most school districts already have that in place. And then the last one I wanted to mention is Senate Bill 199, which I think has some merit to it. They're calling it the AOK program, and it would allow certain adults, and I don't know what they mean by certain adults, I'm just reading what it says, to earn a high school equivalent credentials or to graduate like the GED type program by participating in vocational pathways post-secondary classes. So I'm not sure, other than what I'm reading, what it includes, but basically what I would assume that if you hadn't graduated from high school, you can take certain classes in the vocational area or pathways to allow you to earn the credits to graduate. And it's called the AOK program. It's Senate Bill 199, and that's all really I know about it. So anyway, something to watch.
All right. Anything else, Cliff?
No, I think that covers it, Brandon.
All right. Well, we're out of time here, but appreciate you guys chatting about that. That's a lot of stuff to watch here in the legislature, and certainly we'll be doing that here the next couple months.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Brady Burton and Cliff Williams are guests here from Riley County Schools and Blue Valley Randolph. We'll come back here in just a moment with a little Severe Weather Awareness Week discussion. That's next here on News Radio KMAN.